But for me, the Americans as New York, for the Americans to head to life, Christ as the church, is body of the truth of the Savior. Now, the church submits to Christ, so also wives should submit to their husbands as the church. Husbands, serve your wives, just as Christ loves the church, and gave himself up for her, to make her holy, cleansing her by the washing of water through the word. He sent her to himself as a radiant church, without stain or withdraw any other damage, holy and blameless. In this same way, husbands ought to love their wives as their own bodies. He who loves his wife loves himself. After all, no one ever hated his own body, but he beat the best word, just as Christ loves the church. For we are members of his God. For this reason, the man will be his husband, father, and mother, and we should be united to his wife, and two will become one flesh. This is a profound mystery, but I am talking about Christ and the church. Father, each one of you must also observe his wife as the man of God, and the wife must respect her husband. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is life. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment of the promise, that it may go well with you, and that you may have a long life on the earth. Fathers, do not exasperate the children instead. Bring it up in the training and instruction of the Lord. Please read it from me.
First point. Loving Father, we thank you for the institution of family, and we thank you for your presence here this morning. Father, I pray that as we sit in your presence this morning and listen to your word that you say to us, may it truly be powerful to our hearts, and Lord, help us to be receptive to what you have to say this morning, so that it will truly a life-changing experience for us. We will be able to love you more, love one another, just as you love us. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you. you can choose friends, but you cannot choose people. You know, you have parents, you have brothers or sisters, you have children, you know, and God gave you children and his family. He had no return policy. You know, it's yours. You have this family that is yours to keep, that is for life. And this family is not a human ingenuity, it's an institution of God. And this is wonderful, that something that God has provided for his people. We know from the beginning, from Adam on, God found that he needed something, he cannot be alone. So he instituted a family. And so the family is, maybe second to our personal relationship with Jesus Christ in our life. And in that case, we want to be happy. With family, we want to be happy in our family, and that's be a healthy family. And I'm not going to say we're going to have a perfect family. We have to be real. We are in this real world. And that's where I'm coming from. I have a family. I have a father with two boys. And, if you ask my wife, she would tell you there's an awful lot of my humanity that she has to live with and even puts up with. So I have no claim to know everything about this wonderful family life. But I know there is a place we can go to. We have a wonderful book in the Bible we can go to. We can find out some gems from there. But before that, I want to look at this, each member of the family that we have. We just heard Serena read from Ephesians about, the mother, the father, the children, all their responsibilities or how they should live. And we want to look at all those areas. First, of course, the child of Christ. And in Ephesians 5:24, it tells that wives are to submit to their husbands. And I'm sure some of the men here are saying, yeah, I think you're in the thinking it that way. Maybe you did not quite understand what it says. And I'm sure some of the ladies are thinking, what are you talking about? I can stand on my own. I have my own ideas and abilities that I can do everything that I want to do. What is this talk for subject? And also not quite understood what something means. So to have a proper understanding, we need to look to the Bible for sure. Paul, here we just read from Ephesians. Paul is saying there's a, within this one, he's talking about this in the context of a Christian family. It's not just any family. It's a Christian marriage. And he's not implying that women are inferior to men or they have to subject to men. That's not what he's talking about at all. He's talking about this Christian marriage, a Christian family relationship. And here the submission is not forced. He's not saying everybody has to submit. He's saying this is a voluntary. It's not forced at all. This submission is of the wife is voluntary. Because she promised that she will, the vow she took, that she will submit. And it is asked to the Lord. That submission is asked to the Lord. And verse 23 and 24 explain that marriage is a reflection of the relationship between Jesus and Bible Church. So this puts marriage in a very incredibly elevated position. It also illustrates the fact that why a wife can submit to her husband, because he has obligations to the Lord. You know, against a Christian husband, a Christian marriage, a Christian husband, he has the obligation to the Lord. So it's not a one-sided deal. You know, it's both. There are two sides. So that makes it easy, you know, that submission. Because it's not, nobody is forcing anyone to submit. So it is under the Lord, and the husband also needs to be under the Lord. So the husband, Ephesians 5:25 tells us that we are to love our wives as Christ loved the church and gave himself for us. And when we first realize, oh, that's easy, you know, I do love my wife just as Christ loved the church. But the problem is, you forget about the last part of that sentence. We ignore that. You know, it said, Jesus gave himself up for the church. And, you know, we're thinking, oh, that is a little more than what I bargained for, you know. Gave himself for the church. And that is what is expected of the husband. So the submission and giving your wife for the wife, you know, it makes it kind of easy. So there's a good match, you know, good way to go, good relationship. You know, what is receiving parts of power? You know, if somebody come and put a gun to my back, how would I react? You know, I would be lifting my hands up, you know. That is submission, you know. Giving my will to that person. You know, I'm giving up. Giving that will to that person. And that is, you know, giving oneself up. And Jesus did that. He gave himself up to the Father so that, you know, we will have eternal life. So, Jesus did that, and that is the example that we have. We have to give ourselves up, the husbands, for the Lord. So, you know, the submission to the wife to have, you know, a husband who is submitted to the Lord, who is given his life to the Lord. And he's, you know, supposed to provide that atmosphere in the home so that wife would feel need to be submissive to their husband. And we know these are, you know, wonderful facts, wonderful proofs, all that is something we want to be. We want to have that kind of a family, have that kind of a home. And, you know, again, we are in a real world that we live in. But with God, it is possible. You know, we try it on our own. You know, it is difficult. It's very difficult because of the the infirmities that we have in our spiritual life. You know, we need God to help us. So the man to surrender, to submit to God, so that the wife would feel that she could submit to the husband. So it's not a force, it's not, no one is forcing anyone to submit, but it is something that she wants to do. And that's what he wants to do also. So that is the very example we have. Jesus who gave himself up. Gave himself to the Lord in the past. So when we look at it this way, you know, it's a wonderful blueprint for married life. Now to the parents, Proverbs 22:6, train a child in the way he should grow. And when he's old, he will not turn from it. We all know that verse. And that's a great big order for the parents to if they have to train their children you know, how do you train it so? You know, I mean, it is very time. And unless we have this husband who is given his will to the law, will to God, and a wife who is not submitted to the husband, then it's difficult, for example, to train the child because you are not an example for the child. So that is, so we have to have that first step, the husband and the wife, then as a parent, we are able to teach the child how to live, how to live their lives in this world. So the best way is by example, and you know, if you ask each other, they will tell you, you know, what the examples that we have on the world. So the first example is that personal relationship that we have with them, and that is the first example. And the next one is the wife's relationship with the husband and the wife. And someone said the best thing you can give to a child is to love his mother. You know, that is the best example, best thing you can give to a child. So those are the kind of things you need to think about and in our relationship in the family. And the other thing we always talk about is disciplining the children. You know, disciplining is important as a parent because you want the children to grow up to be the kind of people that will be worthy of the name of God in their lives and to be good citizens in the land they live. So for that, discipline is important. Because then as they're growing up, they do not know what is right, what is wrong, how they do it. So the discipline is important. And one time someone asked the evangelist whether his mom ever disciplined him. And he said that I have, she has a strap hanging in the kitchen. And with a big sign above, it says, I need to be every hour. So discipline is important. But we need discipline. We have discipline in love and self-control. Discipline in love and self-control. And never in anger. You know, many times the problem of this, we discipline in anger and you go out of control. So discipline has to be done in control, self-control and love. And it has to be appropriate to the age, you know, and what was the impression that was. So discipline is important, and that's one of our responsibilities as a parent. So we have a father who is committed to the Lord, a wife who is committed to the Lord, same time somebody needs to look for us, and the children being taught the way they should live by our own lives, by the parents' lives. So the children, their job is to grow in the family, grow, learn, mature, you know, have that, have fun doing it. You know, sometimes it's not that fun, but they need to grow, and they grow in the family, that is their job. And the children growing up, they go through many changes, you know, mentally, spiritually, emotionally. Socially, a lot of changes happen in the children's life. And all those things that Apostle Paul says, Ephesians 6, 1 to 3, says, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment of the promise, that it may go well with you, and that you may enjoy your own life on earth. And that is the word to the children. You know, this is, it's not just they said you need to do this, but it is a duty, that's how he puts it. It is a duty of the children to obey and honor the parents. So, not only just obey, but honor the parents. And, you know, when you honor or respect the parents, you know, what you learn to respect and honor God through that experience. And the Bible contains, you know, a lot of pro-family principles and precepts. And I wanted to touch on some of those this morning as well. It's not only, you know, who are involved, but how are we going to come to that happy and joyous fellowship for that family, that group of people who together living a long life together, and that has to be, that we want to be happy and fruitful. First thing we want to look at is we need to understand each other. I think all of, probably all of us have a VCR at home. And how many of you know how to work at it? Just a handful of us know how to program. You know, it's not enough to know to have something, but you want to know how to work it. So that's important. Here, Peter, 1 Peter 3:7 says, you husbands, likewise, live with your wives in an understanding way, as is a weaker vessel, since she is a woman, and grant your honor as a fellow of your wives, and our entire families can reach their full potential, I'm sorry, as fellow heirs of the grace of life, so that your prayers never be hindered. So, you need to live with your wives in an understanding way. So, it says we need to understand each other. We need to understand each other. So, we have our spouse, but we need to understand our spouse. So, here, directly telling the husband to understand your wife. And, you know, if you ask the husbands, many will tell you. You know, it's easy to understand conflicts than the wife. And I'm sure wives would say the same thing about their husbands. Because we, you know, it's something so extraordinary who we are. You know, we are so different with each other, and, you know, God has created us, you know, something special. We are all so different. So it's hard to understand each other completely. And, but we are going to try to do that. You know, we have to. We have to understand our spouse to live a happy, good, happy life. Now, how do we understand as a person? How do we understand as a person? Someone said, make what is important to the other person as important to you as the other person needs to be. What is important to the other person, make it as important to you as that person is important. So, if that person, if the wife is important to you, you need to know what is important to them and make that important to you as much as she's important to you. So, that's how you understand others. So, you need to look for that, what is important to them. And, I mean, this has been a learning experience for me. It's wonderful. And we need to understand the other person to grow in that relationship. An example is a father who is not very really excited about games, sports, but his son got excited about a hockey game. And what this father did was, for the whole year, he took his son to the hockey games. Several games he went to. And, you know, that, he, even though he didn't know, the father didn't like the game, you know, he took his son, and that was a great bonding experience for them. And middle of the season come and ask the father, you know, do you like hockey? That's that much, because he's going to every game that comes to town. And he said, no, I love my son as that much. So that's why he took his son there. So he realized quite important to the son. And he made that important to himself because the son is important. So that's what we need to do in our relationships. Find out what is important to the other person and make that important to you because that person is important. James 1:19 states that we should be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to become angry. So how do we know the other person? First, we need to listen. We need to listen to the other person. Don't be so quick to talk. Listen to the other person, so you'll be able to understand. So the second one is keep commitments. And again, here it is said that generous, be generous in praise, but cautious with promises. When you make a commitment, you're making a promise. And when you make a promise, you want to keep that promise. When you make promises to your children, you want to keep that promise. You don't want to break. This happens to us every day. Parents make promises just to get out, get him out of the way, and don't do anything. But we have to think about what we are doing. We have, don't be so quick to make a promise, but when you make a promise, keep that promise. Because, our life, we kind of center around these promises. When we think about God, He gave so many promises to us. And we believe in those ones. We know God keeps those promises. That's why we continue to have faith in Him and trust Him. So we have faith in Him because He keeps His promise. And our personal life, unless we keep our promise, the other person would not have any faith in us. They would not trust us. And the relationship, trust is very important. So keeping our promises is very important in a family life. And in a married life, we make promises. In the wedding ceremony itself, we made a promise. Next to God, you are it. Is that something that we keep up? Are we reminded of those promises that we made that day? Do we keep to that? And if we do, we'll have a great relationship. The next thing is give some respect. Give some respect. Respect is something all of us in any relationship need. And it's impossible to keep that grace of life without respect. And you have to have respect. Without respect, the marriage fails for sure. It's that trust written in the respect. And if we think about our relationship with God, sometimes it's because we do not respect God. That's why we have problems with God. And in our personal relationships, if we do not have the respect for ourselves, we will have the same problem. In Proverbs 14:26 says, those who fear the Lord are secure. He will be a place of refuge for their children. So if you have a respect or a fear of the Lord, He will be our refuge. And that's the same thing happens in family relationships. When we have that kind of respect and trust for each other, we will have a refuge. And if you look at the problem, people with problems with respect for honoring one another, the people with most difficulty are those people with an inflated idea of the role. That I am better than somebody. I am better than the other person. Very proud, sinfully proud. Philippians 2:3 tells us to be humble, thinking of others as better than yourself. Don't think only about your own affairs, but be interested in others too and what they are doing. So the Philippians, you know, this problem is not nothing new. You know, it's an old problem. We have to honor one another, we have to respect one another, we have to think of others as even better than ourselves. That is the first stage, respect and have a relationship with one another. And the other, the next thing we need to do is offer grace. The easiest way to grow the relationship is offering grace. 1 Thessalonians 5:11 says, therefore, encourage one another and build each other up. Yes, that in fact you are doing. Encourage one another and build each other up. Now, how can we encourage one another? In the last, many little things that we can do to encourage one another. First is a smile. You know, a smile can encourage another person. Right? So, everyone smile. I will do it. Smile, you know. Job, he went through a lot of grief and suffering. In chapter 29 of the book of Job, before all those problems, he said, when people around me were discouraged, I smiled at them. My look of approval was precious. So he was a statesman, he was there, you know, everybody respected him. So when he was there, people would come with problems and, you know, their difficulties, and he smiles at them, and he knew they are really helpful. So it's written here, people around him were discouraged. I smiled at them. My book of approval was precious. So never underestimate the power of smile. You know, it not only helps our faces, it walks the heart. Now, the next thing is by our words. Someone said, man doesn't live by bread alone. He also needs bartering up. We don't want to die, but I think good words, you know, encourage always helps. Good words. And by pointing out the positive things in other people, you know, it's too easy to find the negative things, you know, because we are all so human, we could see negative things all around us. Then it will be difficult to find the positive, but we have, that's the only way we will be able to encourage one another and grow with one another and have peace in our lives. We have to find positive things in our lives. Andrew Carnegie, you know, was a great entrepreneur. One time reporter asked him, you know, why he hired these 43 millionaires to work for us. You know what his answer is? I didn't hire any millionaires, you know, but they became millionaires, you know. And so the reporter asked, how did you develop these men? And he said, it's like, you know, finding gold in the dirt. And he said, you need to, move tons of dirt to find an ounce of gold. You know, we don't go in there looking for dirt. We look for gold. And that's what we need to do. We need to look for gold in our lives, not the dirt. You know, there is dirt all around. We need to move those dirt and find the gold. The next thing is, give gifts. Not so bad. Give gifts. Act for 36 to 37. There was a man named Joseph. The one that Moses named Barnabas, which means son of encouragement. He was from the tribe of Levi. Levi came from the island of Cyprus. He sold a field he owned and brought the money to the apostles for those in need. Joseph, because of his behavior, was given the nickname son of encouragement. One of the ways he practiced encouragement was giving gifts. And he gave gifts at a time like you. And very one person in your family, that'll be great. That'll make a difference. And the last thing is, ask for and offer forgiveness. Very important. Forgiveness is very important in a relationship. All of us have families. Anyone who lives in a family, there are many kinds of disappointments and hurts in our lives. I mean, it comes with it because people are so different. Even, your children, but still they are so different. Because God created them, no one the same. And so forgiveness is over. We will have a lot of disappointments and hurts in a family life. This couple who was married for 54 years, and they said the secret of their long and happy marriage was, you overlook a lot of little things and you forgive each other. Because you will find a lot of problems, a lot of things in our, the negatives in our, each other. But you have to overlook many of those, because that's not the most important thing in your life. You have to overlook them and forgive each other. You have to forgive each other. Colossians 3:13. Bear with each other, forgive whatever grievances you may have against one another. Forgive, ask of the Lord forgive you. Forgiveness is not natural. It is more natural to carry grudges against. That is the human nature. Not forgiveness. But we have an example of Lord who forgive us. He told the story of I put it today's words. Someone who had who was a CEO of a company, and he was buying a house, he needed money, and he went to someone to borrow some money, and the guy gave him, let's say, $500,000 to purchase his house. And all of a sudden, today's situation, everybody losing jobs, the company is closing, and this guy lost his job. He has no way to pay this off. This investor gave him $500,000, but he doesn't have any money to pay it. And, he came to this investor and said, I'm in terrible shape, I have no money, my bank account is zero, no job, and I don't see any in sight. I don't see a job that's going to be available for me. I'm really in trouble. And this investor said, I understand. I know what's going on. I made a lot of money. I have plenty of money in my bag. And okay, fine. You just don't have to pay anything. If you get a job, if you have money, just pay. Otherwise, okay. And this man, when he was working in that company, he had one of his employees asked for some money, and he gave him $1,000 because they needed some money to pay rent. And this $1,000, the guy, he lost his job too. The company is up. And so he came crying to the CEO and said, I'm in trouble. I cannot pay you back. Then he put this guy in jail. He filed a complaint and this guy was in jail. And the investor pointed out about this CEO and what did he do? He put him in jail, right? I mean, if you remember the story that Jesus said, something like that. It's about forgiveness. Can you forgive? And because we have all this, Jesus forgiven us of, millions of sins in our lives, and we cannot forgive somebody for what the little thing they did. How forgiving are we? I mean, we need to forgive. If God can forgive us multiples of sins, we should be willing to forgive our spouse or our child or our loved one. You know, there was a Spanish story about this father and his son. They got estranged and one day the son left the house. And father, you know, he loves his son and he wanted to see his son back. And he looked around, he went around looking for him. Months have passed, nowhere in sight. So the last thing he did was he decided to put an ad in the newspaper. You know, he put a normal newspaper saying, you know, dear Pedro, meet me in front of this newspaper place next Saturday, morning, Saturday afternoon. You know, he says, I love you, and put his name, father's name, your dad. He didn't put the name, I'm sorry, he didn't put the name, he says, your father. And Saturday noon came, when his father came there, there were 800 people standing there, because they all wanted his forgiveness and love from their father. And for the highest paper, he said, both the names of Sanchez. 800 people came over to that place, and they saw the sad. So they were all waiting for forgiveness from their father and love for their father. So this, you know, human race looking for forgiveness. We need forgiveness. And God provides the forgiveness for our, you know, life. And now in relationships, we need to forgive each other. Because we need forgiveness to have peace in our lives. We have to be, and we have to be forgiven. Accept forgiveness. This having a healthy, happy family is not an accident. Work. It takes everyone in the family, the entire family, to work with this. There are rough parts at times, you know, but we can overcome these things through these steps, you know, through this understanding, loving, forgiving, a life that if we would move on from each other, we would be able to have a wonderful, happy life, a family life. And it's so important to have such life for us, not only to live happily in a family structure, but also to relate to the others, you know, and to our brothers and sisters in Christ, and to other loved ones. Unless we have that in our family, it gets very difficult. And we need to pray that God will help us to overcome these difficulties in our lives, so that we will be changed to, you know, be like Jesus. I mean, that's what we do. He loves and he cares about everyone, you know, and he, you know, sees others are important. You know, if we see ourselves as the most important people in the world, there is no way we can relate to other people and forgive or have that kind of loving relationship with other people. We need to love others, we need to see others as, you know, more important than ourselves, because God has created us and called us for us to live, and he love and harmony, and that is, you know, that would be the happy family life, and we want to have that opportunity to go through this wonderful relationship, encouragement, and love for you, family life, so that children can grow, and the family can grow. I just thank God for this study I was able to do, and you know, it touched my life. I hope God has spoken to you, He's spoken to you, and that you know, your life can be changed to a positive way, that God will help you. As we prepare to go to partake in the Lord's Supper.